You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Help! I need directions to Bing Bong Bay!
Yes, but the only way to get there is to stop at the D-Jan Corner.
Here we go. First question, DJ.
One of the absolute worst pieces of imaging, and it remains that way. We can get to the questions right away, but just every time that comes on, it remains. We need to say that's just the worst. DJ draft is the worst, but DJ corner is it's on the podium.
But it's so bad, it's good.
Is it? I just hear it too often. That's the problem. I hear, and it's been a while. Tyler, when was the last time we did this exercise? 2 months?
Yeah, I think with Moose like a month ago.
Yeah, like it was on a Friday. I know it was on a Friday. But I think we literally invented free roll so we wouldn't have to do this exercise anymore. Now today we're doing both. That's so great. Awesome.
All right. Curious, Lockie's process when he says he is building a position on X and what that entails from a math EV perspective.
Yeah, and Rick, can we drop the music a little bit too? I would type it in the box, but my keyboard's really loud. So I say this on the show sometimes, and this is one of those questions where it's really funny to hear what people remember about the show and what they don't remember, where it's like, you know, I'll have people message me sometimes be like, oh, Wizards have got to be a play tonight, because I know you always say ma 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 ma, and I'm like, oh, that's good, like, they retained that information, that was like really cool. This is a phrase I use sometimes, and it's basically like when the market is moving towards a team and I'm interested in the opposite side, like at what number I start betting the opposite side, basically, is like how I use this term, building a position, which is just like basically making a bet, but then the idea is maybe you add more and then add more and then add more as it keeps moving, or if it even stays the same almost all the time. So I actually don't really want to get into like, well, it's 1.2 units at this and 1.5 at this. And it's like, you know, like what percent Kelly criterion are you running? But like, I don't really want to do that. But what I will say is in almost every situation where I'm trying to play against, especially really close to the start of the game, the times when I am going to build a position when the market's moving the other way are almost always on information. So it's usually an injury, especially in the NBA, and like I don't think it's being reflected the right way. So an injury in the NBA, for example, will always cause, I mean, it's very predictable, right? A guy gets announced as out, the number's going to move one of two directions. Which one do you think it's going to move toward? Probably like, you know, the team that has the injury is going to, you know, obviously see their likelihood of winning decrease. There are some injuries where I don't think that's true, or where it's overstated because there are situational angles in the game that I still like, something like that, or where the injury, maybe I want to start playing the total, and the total, like in the NBA, star injuries will frequently lead to the total dropping. There are some star injuries where I don't think the total should drop very much, but it will. And I'll play back against that. Because again, maybe it's something about the specific handicap of the game. Like Hawks Knicks, for example, they play crazy high scoring games against each other. You know, if John Collins wasn't going to play and the total drops, or Capella or somebody, some non-Trae Young Atlanta player, like I might still be really interested in the over and I would just wait, you know, like those guys get announces out, maybe the total gets bet down 2 or 3 points. So building a position is really just like, I don't expect the number to keep moving against me. But in those, it has to be injury, because if it's just like movement, then I've probably missed something. There's something about the game that I'm not seeing correctly. I have to know why it's moving in a direction and I have to disagree with it. And almost always that's going to be basketball and it's going to be driven by an injury. If it's just like sharp action on the other side, then that's really never anything I want to like keep playing back against as it moves against me.
There you go. Good question. Good answer. We'll continue with DGen Corner. It is You Better You Bet here on this Friday. And we'll get into some other things as well. Final segment before Ken Barkley goes on vacation.
Bags are packed. We packed the car literally in 25 minutes. The car's getting packed.
There you go, Ken Barkley. Yep.
And it's early bedtime, hypothetically.
It's You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
All right, we are in a D-Gen corner here on this Friday night. Mark Malusis in for Nick Kostos, Ken Barkley, of course. All right, we're in.
Tyler, ordering you around in the rundown or in the chat, by the way. Moose, read this.
No, please. I was going to get him before the break was over.
Read the words. Do it.
I know. It's like basically talk, parrot, speak. Right.
Dance, clown. Read the question. There was one question I wanted to make sure we got to. Yes, we could try to. My goal is, I think we have like 4 questions left. I think we can do all of them in 10 minutes. I think that should be the goal.
Yeah,
I think we really kind of motor through this to, because I think people, compared to, especially the last time we did this, it was kind of like crickets and it was a Friday and I don't think a lot of people were kind of around, but we actually got some pretty good questions here. So I think it's worth it to go through them here.
Yeah, let's run through it. Tyler, I will read it right now. Have you looked into whether or not there's any edge to betting no runs first inning, Ken, in multiple games this year?
Sure. So I think first inning is a really appealing market for a lot of people. There are some people that have kind of been documented to have some success with it. Anybody who follows like other gambling media, there's a guy, Spreadopedia, who's like had some success several years ago, I think, betting them. And actually, I think like yelled at me when I tried to bet them a couple years ago that I was stealing his thunder. But seems like a good dude, whatever. And anyway, I think he won at them before. Just when I tried to beat him, and this was before I kind of developed a lot of the stuff I have right now. I've never really gone back to it, but what I found was basically first innings, it's pretty straightforward, right? It's a derivative of the total most of the time. So if you know what the total is in the game, the total is 7.5, first inning run's going to be this. If the total is 8, first inning run's going to be this. It's just like, it's like a derivative. It's like first 5 innings, basically, you know, in terms of frequency of the run being scored. The only specific situation, and this was a dumber version of me looking at this, the only time I found where a type of bet existed outside of the juice, basically, where you were, you know, most, because like honestly, like if you're paying, especially if you're paying like -115 each way on a first inning bet, like the likelihood of run scored yes no is probably within that juice that they're setting up at whatever 3-4% on each side. So the only situation I found where stuff would get out of whack would be ace versus ace yeses, basically. So you have like a 7, so, and not all 7s are the same, right? So Suter versus Rogers is like, it was basically a 7 tonight. It was between 6.5 and 7. You know, my guess is that the yes was like, you know, a big price, but not like crazy big, basically. If you had like DeGrom Kershaw or something, those were the only situations where I see where like the no would get bet to such a degree that yes would be like +160, +170, like plus. So like the total would be similar to what you'd see, but sometimes like the quality and the name of the pitchers would drive action on no to the point that it would kind of like basically diverge from other no's, which would be correctly priced with other pitchers that maybe weren't as like sexy names, basically. So that's not me saying I have a way to beat it. That was just one situation where I was like, the yes in some of those spots, like very contrarian yeses over a certain threshold. Like I forget what the actual threshold was depending on the total, but there were times where you could find one. But I mean, that was it. And honestly, like, I'm not sure I was smart enough at that time to figure out how to solve it beyond that. You know, I'm sure there is a way. I'm sure there are some things other people have cooked up that have won, but that was just kind of my entry point into the market and just the limited research I did on that.
All right, question from Trigos Trigos. What NFL team are you most excited, looking forward to watch bet next season? I'll give you a couple. Rams for me. Giants are another. I think the Giants are live in that NFC East with what they've done in the offseason in free agency. Daniel Jones, year three, second year under Jason Garrett. I think Stafford could win an MVP this year with the Rams, with McVay. I think the Los Angeles Rams are going to be really, really good, and we're going to realize just how restricted they were offensively with Jared Goff at quarterback.
Sure. I'll give you a few teams that kind of stand out as, like, can't wait to see what they're going to be. One in the AFC West and two in the NFC South. I don't think this will be surprising, but there's also only 32 teams, so what are you looking for? Atlanta and Carolina, I'm fascinated by both. And I know they exist in Tampa's division. You got New Orleans, who just the culture of that team, there are jokes there, but the culture of the team in terms of winning has been excellent. And so it's tough, right? Like, are they, you know, are Atlanta and Carolina going to be awesome 7-win teams? You know, that's totally possible. Like, you play New Orleans twice, we don't know what they are necessarily, but odds are good they're going to be a pretty good version of themselves, even without Breeze. And you got Tampa, who's just an absolute wrecking ball. So, like, I don't know if these teams are going to kill it. There's so many obstacles in front of them, but, like, excitement week to week to watch. You know, what do they have in common? Like, what are the two things that you can instill that'll be the involve the most change? New coach or new quarterback? Okay, well, Carolina has a new quarterback that should be light years potentially better than the quarterback that they have, and it's that tantalizing ceiling with Darnold where it's like a new thing. Could be terrible. Could be awful. And this whole thing goes off the rails, and they can kind of cut bait and go from there. But, you know, the idea of the best version of Carolina, super interesting. Brady, weapons, McCaffrey. Like, if Darnold fits, they're really well coached. They have a ton of talent. Atlanta, okay, not new quarterback, new coach. And that might make all the difference. I mean, like, did anybody enjoy the Dan Quinn era, the Raheem Morris era whatsoever there? Like, so, you know, especially the last couple of years, I understand they went to a Super Bowl, but, like, I think Atlanta with Pitts and that offense and Arthur Smith, like, can he recreate some of the magic that he had with the efficient offense he had in Tennessee? So those two teams, Chargers in the West, are pretty interesting, I think, just because, like, same idea. Like, how bad really was Anthony Lynn? Let's find out the answer to that question, basically, and see kind of what this team can do this year. Those teams, new coaches and new quarterbacks, that's always kind of be where I go with, you know, most interested teams.
All right, Kenny, this one's right in your wheelhouse. How about from Blake Walters? Mm-hmm. Would be interested to hear if you think that certain leagues' betting markets are better suited for modeling as opposed to more intuition-based wagering.
That's kind of it's an interesting question. I don't know if there's, so I know what this question is looking for. I don't know if there's one where I would be like, intuition's the way to go. And I know there are people that like to bet based on that. And there's some people who are probably really successful, I guess, based on, you know, maybe they're just really smart people who see things correctly and interpret information and just have a good feel for everything. Old school guys. Maybe there's a bunch of sports that work for them. I don't know if there's a market where I'd say, like, don't make a number for this market. I don't know if that's what I don't think exists. But I would say,
are there, Ken, let me ask you this. Are there markets where you think the modeling is stronger?
Well, I think so I'll take that question and run in a slightly different direction, which is, like, how you build it can change depending on the sport. So there are sports. Here's a good way to think about it. Let's say you have two buckets of information. One bucket is on-field things that actually happened in the game for a team. So for the Giants, the games that they're playing, right? Yards per play allowed, you know, third down efficiency, red zone efficiency, things like this. You know, explosive plays, all that kind of stuff. So that's one bucket, things that actually happened. And then the other bucket would be market information. What did the team close at? What is the total in the game? What was their win probability? All these things that we know before the game kicks off and are, in some sports, I would argue, more important than what actually happened in the game. I think in big time, big markets, North American sports, professional football, professional baseball, college football, the NBA, I would use a lot more of the market information instead of the actually what happened in the game information. You're still going to use both, but the extent to which you would use one instead of the other. Whereas a sport maybe that does not have high limits, European basketball, maybe, I guess, would be a good example of this. Fringe golf and tennis leagues, Caribbean baseball, something like that. You know, like stuff, these kind of, like, you can bet on these things, but the market's not maybe hyper efficient. The amount of money coming in isn't very good, so maybe the closing line isn't awesome. Maybe you would use what actually happened more and the market data less in that situation. And I haven't modeled a ton of those things, but that's kind of what I would do. Props would be a great example of that, actually. Like, I don't trust the closing line. I mean, first of all, the closing line on the props are different in every single book. So the closing line kind of doesn't even matter, almost. So that would be almost entirely the bucket of what actually happens and what's predictive going forward in terms of what the teams have done so far this season. So, you know, when you're building stuff, like, how much does the closing line matter in a certain sport, in a certain market, sorry, would be a better way of thinking about it. You know, if it's a prop, how many rebounds is Blake Griffin going to get? That's a terrible example. How many rebounds is Kevin Durant going to get? You know, that's one where, like, I don't care what it closes at all. Like, I actually don't care whatsoever. I make my own number. It's independent of the market, whatever. Whereas, like, you know, Cowboys, Giants, Sunday night football. Yeah, I'm going to care a ton about what the closing line is in the game because that market is, like, hyper efficient. Like, that's probably a great representation of the difference between the teams. And I would use that along with some other stuff to try to figure out, along with what happened in the games, to try to figure out what the best number is. So just the weighting of those two buckets, that's probably the best way to answer it.
All right, this one from Patrick Wilson. What do you think the appropriate price at the top of the board for NBA Coach of the Year should be?
Yeah, and he sent me a screenshot. I said, if you send me a screenshot, I'll address it on the air. And he sent me one, and I just go, ew. Like, I didn't write that back because I was going to answer it on the air. But Monty Williams is the significant favorite. He's minus 300 at another sports book right now. Then you have two candidates. I believe it was Quinn Snyder and Thibodeau were each plus 200. So first of all, and everybody else was listed with the idea that maybe this book could steal some more of your money if you wanted to bet on those guys. Those are the three guys who can win, obviously. And honestly, like, the way I would approach it is, like, I don't think that's a number worth betting into. I think before I saw the market, I go, I hope Thibodeau's favored because I would probably bet Monty Williams. And that turns out Monty Williams is actually just a big favorite. So I don't think there's a bet to do. You can't really even bet, like, two guys and make any money. Like, no. It's just a terribly priced market. So for, I appreciate the question. It's a really good question. For the amount of time you have to wait, and I don't see a huge edge there, probably a pass. Whereas, like, Jokic to win MVP was just the biggest edge ever. So even though you're waiting a long time, yeah, you're gonna make money on it, and it was worth betting into. That'd be the difference between those two things.
All right, last one quickly. Big W, which sport and which bet type do you tend to have the most success in, and why do you think that is?
Oh, man, that's a really good question. College basketball totals are the thing I've had the most success at. Part of the reason for that is because I think the pond is smaller and there are fewer people betting a lot because it's very, very, very difficult to bet a lot of money on a college basketball total. So my competition is a little less, I think. And I think I have some strategies that make really good numbers for college that I can't use in other sports that I can't really go into. But so I make a good number, but also I'm not competing against, like, best of the best of the best of the best, which I would be for NFL or college football or the NBA. So the competition is a little weaker. And my number's a little better. So I think that's, like, the best way to answer that.
And that's, you think you've, so over the course of time, years, the totals in college hoops is where you've had the most success.
Yeah, I mean, just, like, a pretty wild ROI because the limits are pretty small when I bet and everything, and I just, the winning percentage is extreme, so.
Well, Kenny, it's been a blast. Safe travels, all right?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
What's the biggest thing you're looking forward to on vacation the most?
Not thinking about betting. Actually, probably I'll put in some baseball and some NBA, but it'll be very robotic. It'll take me 10 minutes a day and 15 minutes a day. And, you know, right before first pitch and overnight and probably won't think about it ever again. Try to play some golf too. Going to get some new irons. That should be great. Yeah. So should be awesome.
And what's the over under how long it takes to pack your car?
Oh, going to try to do it in less than an hour here. Like
60
pray for
minutes.
Me. Yeah. So.
I'll take the over.
Yeah, appreciate it, bud. Thanks. Yes,
right. Tyler, Bill, Rick, Ken, enjoy vacation, all right, brother?
Thank you, sir. Have a good weekend.
You as well. Everyone have a good weekend. Thanks for being locked in. You better, you bet, right here on the BetQL Audio Network.